Chapter 9. Lionel felt his stomach churn as Miss Spencer pulled Coach Barber aside. His other teachers moved in close too, as if it was football and they were huddling.
"What are they doing here?" Keith asked.
"Someone's getting busted, that's what," another player answered. Lionel stood up, his ears ringing, his heart knocking against his ribs. What were they saying? Coach Tubbs continued running practice while the small group of adults talked. After several seconds, Coach Barber winced as if he'd heard something that pained him. Then they all turned toward Lionel. Coach Barber called him over. Lionel knew the other students were watching as he forced himself to walk to the back corner of the gym.
"I'm sorry, son," Coach Barber said. "You get yourself straightened out, get your grades up, and I got a team that could use you."
It was a nightmare come true. Lionel shook at the words, tried to push them back, deny them.
"Huh? What are you saying?"
"I hate to say this, but you're not eligible to join the team right now. Your grades..."
"No, you can't do that,"
Lionel cried, his voice booming into the gym.
"That ain't right. I was good out there, coach."
"Come on, everyone. There's nothing to stare at. Get back to work,"
Coach Tubbs yelled in the distance. Lionel glanced back to see Desmond and Cooper leaning forward trying to listen to them. Malika held her chin, her mouth open as if she was watching an accident happen right before her eyes. Tasha was craning toward him, too, her camera phone pointed right at him.
"I'm sorry, Lionel, but this isn't about the court. Grades and your conduct off the court are just as important."
Miss Spencer spoke up then. His teachers nodded in agreement.
"Don't do this,"
Lionel begged, desperate to change their minds. His hands trembled and his eyes started to sting. It felt as if they'd ganged up on him, robbing him right there in the middle of the gym for everyone to see. Stealing the one thing that kept him from spinning out of control.
"You did it to yourself, and you can fix it yourself," Miss Spencer added firmly.
There was a note of sadness in her voice, too, though Lionel didn't care.
"Let's talk about it in my office. Come on, Lionel."
She gestured toward the doorway leading out of the gym. Lionel glanced back at the basketball court and the small crowd of people still watching him.
"Get those grades up and come back to me,"
Coach Barber said then, putting a hand on Lionel's shoulder.
"You're a smart and talented player. I want to see you on the team."
Lionel shrugged his hand off as if the touch burned him.
"Don't take this from me,"
Lionel said to all of them, unable to express why basketball was so important.
"It's all I got. Don't take it."
But in Miss Spencer's office, they didn't seem to understand. "Lionel, you need a C average to play," Miss Spencer explained as his other teachers looked on.
"Everyone who plays for Blueford is under the same rules. That means you, too."
"A C average?"
Lionel gasped. It was the final nail in the coffin.
"And you can start by handing in the work you owe in all your other classes," Miss Spencer added.
Lionel rose from his chair then, a cold numbness spreading into his chest.
"I can't do the work,"
he said then, making eye contact with each of them one last time.
"Do you understand that? I can't do it."
"What do you mean?"
Mrs. Henley asked, her voice changing as if she'd just discovered something new, but Lionel didn't answer. He opened the door and walked out.
"Where are you going?"
Miss Spencer asked, following him into the hallway.
"Lionel!"
Lionel kept moving, shutting out their voices and pushing their faces from his mind. He walked down the mostly empty hall and kicked open the front doors of Blueford High. Deep inside him, a flame had been snuffed out. A dream had died. Lionel ran from Blueford as fast as his feet would carry him. He sprinted past superfoods, weaved around a small crowd of teenagers, and crossed in front of a car that skidded to avoid him. The driver cursed as he passed, and some of the kids cackled in laughter.
"Man, that boy don't look good," said one of them.
"Where's the fire, bro? What you running from?" said another.
Lionel felt as if he was on fire, as if flames were on him, consuming him, breaking him down until there was nothing left but ash and pain. His feet carried him up a familiar block, pushing him to do one last thing before Blueford High School slipped away completely. He went two blocks north to Union Street and was suddenly dashing up the steps of Dontrell's house. A second later, he was knocking on the door. Dontrell pulled the door open and looked at him, a strange expression on his face. Lionel cut him off before he could say a word.
"Yo, Trell, I'm sorry about what I said today in Mrs. Henley's class."
"That wasn't right," he said, reaching a fist out to his old friend. Dontrell stood motionless, studying him.
You all right, Al?
He asked.
Your eyes are all red.
Lionel nodded.
I just needed to apologize, you know. It ain't right that I teased you for doing your work. Like you said, you was just trying to get by. Ain't no one should get on your case for that, especially not me.
Dontrell bumped his fist, and Lionel felt like it was done. He said his final goodbye. He turned and walked down the steps as he had for years. Only now it felt different, as if the world had changed somehow, and they'd never be the same.
What happened at tryouts? Dontrell asked.
You made a team, right?
Lionel paused for a second, unable to respond.
Talk to Tasha. She got it all, he said, imagining the rest of the school going online so they could see him screaming at his teachers in the gym.
I gotta go, Trell, he added.
Take care of yourself, bro.
Dontrell asked him something then, but Lionel tuned him out. He knew what he had to do next. Back at home, Aunt Mimi confronted Lionel as soon as he walked in the door.
Boy, where have you been?
She yelled.
Your principal called twice this afternoon. She wants you and your dad to come in for a conference right away. I told them he was on the road, but she asked for his cell number, and when I gave it to her, she practically hung up on me. What happened?
Lionel looked her in the eye. There was no point in lying anymore. Dad probably knew everything by now. With Miss Spencer's phone call, he'd know that Lionel lied about school, faked his signature, and didn't do his homework. He'd be furious. Maybe he'd even drive back to punish him. Lionel could picture Dad's face, the veins in his neck bulging as he yelled, his eyes full of anger and disappointment. Dad would ground him and take away basketball and his job at the car wash. Then he'd go back to work, to Denise or whatever, and Lionel would be trapped alone again, failing school and trapped in the house. There was no way he could live like that.
I quit school,
he hissed.
What?
Aunt Mimi yelled, shaking her head as if she couldn't believe what she had just heard.
You can't do that.
I just did, he snapped,
grabbing a trash bag and running down the hall to his bedroom with her right behind him. Kendra followed them and stood quietly at the edge of the hallway listening to everything.
What are you doing?
His aunt asked, standing in his doorway with her hands on her hips. Lionel rifled through his drawers, throwing his clothes into the bag.
Packing?
What do you mean, packing? Where are you going?
My friend's house. I'm moving out,
Lionel said, grabbing the small wad of cash he'd saved from the car wash. Aunt Mimi looked as if she'd been slapped in the face.
Lionel, I don't know what's going on, but I can't let you leave. You're staying right here.
In the distance, Lionel heard Sahara cry. Aunt Mimi rolled her eyes in frustration.
Just a minute, baby,
she yelled, yanking the plastic bag from his hands. Lionel pulled the bag back, anger flaring in his chest.
You can't keep me here. I ain't gotta listen to you,
he screamed, unable to stop the rage from boiling from his lips.
You ain't my mama.
His aunt stepped back and let go of his bag as if it stung her hands. He knew he'd hurt her feelings. He could see it on her face, and he wished he could take back the words, but it was too late.
Don't you ever talk to me like that, she yelled. I work too hard around here for that.
Sahara's cries grew louder, and Aunt Mimi turned without a word and raced back down the hallway after her. For a second, the room was quiet.
Don't leave, Lionel, Kendra begged.
Her voice felt like a knife digging into Lionel's stomach.
Please, I don't want you to go.
Lionel forced himself to keep moving, stuffing his trash bag with the last of his belongings.
It ain't right, she continued. First Mama, then Daddy, now you. What am I supposed to do? I don't want to be here alone. It's not even home anymore.
Lionel shook his head. His sister's words held him for a second, anchoring him to the floor. But there at the edge of his bed was the notebook from the other day, his drawing still visible. He could see the championship banner he'd sketched for Mrs. Henley's assignment. His words scribbled underneath, Lionel's dream. It was an insult. A reminder of the door Miss Spencer had slammed shut on him just an hour ago. And yet it also pointed to what would happen if he stayed in the house. It would be more failure at school, more punishment too. No work, no basketball, not at Blueford or anywhere. And all the while, he'd know Dad was hiding Denise under his nose. It was as if the walls were a prison trying to close in on him. He had to escape. Lionel leaned forward and put his arms around his little sister. She sobbed quietly, and he knew she'd figured out what was happening next.
I'm sorry, but I gotta do this, he said then, hugging her tight. You'll be all right, and if you ever need me, I'll be at Jamar's house on 43rd Street. He works with me at the car wash.
Without another word, he ran down the hallway and out the front door. Miss Walker was sweeping her stoop and watched as Lionel rushed from his house carrying his bag.
Where are you going in such a hurry?
Lionel didn't even look at her, but a voice behind him answered her question.
He's quitting school and running away, that's what he's doing.
His aunt had followed him out, holding Sahara in her arms.
Quitting school?
Miss Walker barked.
Boy, you got any sense in that brain of yours?
Lionel ignored her. He was about to pass her stoop when she came hurrying down her steps, nearly colliding with him.
Look at me when I'm talking to you,
she commanded. Lionel was stunned. He'd never heard her speak to anyone this way.
You listen to me. If you quit school, you'll throw everything away. All that your mother and father been fighting for all these years, she said.
Miss Walker, you don't understand.
What don't I understand? I've been walking this earth a lot longer than you. And I'll tell you something. You quit now, and it ain't gonna get easier. How you gonna get a good job without an education, huh? Who's gonna hire you?
Lionel shrugged. He wasn't thinking about a job or tomorrow. He just wanted her to stop, so he could leave Cypress Street once and for all. But she kept on going, getting louder each second.
You'll just be another kid with no skills, no idea who he is or how much he's missing out on. How you gonna get far like that?
Lionel shifted the heavy trash bag to his other shoulder, trying to avoid her eyes.
There's a whole world out there for you to see, she continued. But you gotta finish school so you can rise up to it. Too many good kids today never do. Instead, they're out there on the corner or strung out or worse, and I'm tired of it, she yelled. You're better than that, you hear me?
A speeding police car raced through the intersection up ahead, its flashing lights reflected in Miss Walker's glasses like red and blue flames.
I gotta go.
She grabbed his arm, her hand like a claw on his bicep.
No one owes you anything, Lionel. You gotta work for it. You gotta earn it, just like in basketball. Now, I know you're smart. My Russell was smart, too, and he got his chance taken away from him. You still got yours. Don't go throwing it away, you hear me?
Lionel cringed at her words. It was as if she draped Russell's ghost on his shoulders for him to carry. Her eyes stayed focused on him as if she was trying to drill into him with her stare. He could barely look at them, though he saw they were glistening and swollen. He could read the pain in them more easily than any words, and he felt it, too. But she didn't understand that he'd failed school, that it was no longer an option for him. The doors were closed. As soon as her grip relaxed, Lionel started walking.
No, don't go!
His sister screamed, but Lionel blocked it out. He headed straight to his new home, Jamar's house.